You're listening to Acton Moor, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello dear listeners, welcome to Acton Moor voicemail edition. Coming to you in the wake of yesterday's pretty good, pretty strong 3-1 win over Cardiff City at the Den. My name is Nick Hart. You are listening to Number One Millwall Podcast. And this is my favourite show of the week, dear listeners. This is where we take in and listen to the collective views, wisdom and opinions of the many, many contributors to our show, which I really appreciate. I look forward to this every week. If you would like to join the collective, the kind of Borg collective that is the Achtung set of contributors, do give me a shout. You can get in touch with me on Twitter, at Achtung Millwall. You can send me a direct message on there, a voicemail on there, actually. If you send a direct message and select the voice command on those, you can speak straight into your device, and I'll pick that up and I'll record it. You can even, let me know if you want to do it by WhatsApp, voice notes on WhatsApp. Give me a shout on Twitter or via the email at achtungmillwall@gmail.com. We can swap mobile numbers, and it's another channel. You can even ring the phone, I suppose, and leave an answer phone message on the phone if all else fails. But it's great to get as many contributors from as wide a span of opinion as possible. And I love to include everyone's contributions as much as I possibly can. So if you want to join our Ball Collective, do give me a shout on any of those methods. And we've got plenty of content for you as a reaction to that excellent win yesterday, 3-1 over Cardiff City. Goals by Michael Obafemi on 9 minutes. Jake Cooper, terrific volley on 45+4, just on the stroke of half-time. Critical goal to put us back in the lead, following a fairly patsy equaliser on 24 for Cardiff. That volley in just on the stroke of half-time really gave us the ability to take control of the second half, plus the substitution of Roman Esse for Duncan Watmore, who would actually come into play late, with an excellently taken goal that I didn't think was offside in real time, but then my angle from where I sit up in Birdship Corner didn't really illustrate whether it was or wasn't. Looking at the replays today on YouTube, there's a hint of offside, but I actually think that the linesman got it about right, which is a rare thing for us to be able to say, dear listeners. I think he was onside. It was a lovely little cross in on 90+3 minutes, and in from Brooke Norton Cuffey on the right side, and finding Duncan Watmore, who slammed home with authority, and that was that, 3-1. He then made off towards the Coldblow Lane end. Twirling his shirt, Tim Cahill, starting exposing his deeply tanned skin to the world. So well done, Duncan Watmore. Good win. Front of 17,000 yesterday. A lot of Groupon fans up in the block one where I sit. Nice boys, actually. Some nice Swedish guys sat next to me. They were there for a football weekender, they were telling me. I think they said they were going to Arsenal today. So Millwall Saturday, Arsenal today, Sunday, as I record these words to you. That's how a lot of them do it. And that's where the money lies. That's what we've got to work with, dear listeners. That win puts Millwall not quite on mathematical safety. I think I'm all, like all Millwall fans, we're all wary of tempting fate. We're in 16th position, dear listeners. 50 points in the bag now. Huddersfield in the third relegation spot on 22. In 22nd position, they're on 44 points. So there's a 6-point spread between us and Huddersfield. Possible, it's still possible. We've got a lot of bodies between us and the bottom three, but this is a topsy-turvy league. So until it's mathematically safe, I'm not going to start breaking out the champagne and tributes to Neil Harris just yet. I want to make sure that we are actually, no matter what, over the line for survival for this season. That may or may not come versus Sunderland next Saturday, or possibly versus Plymouth Argyle. The fixtures next Saturday include one or two death matches. Huddersfield are playing Swansea at home. Rotherham are down, but they've got Birmingham at home. Birmingham will be desperate to get 3 points there. Stoke are playing Plymouth Argyle. Sunderland, Millwall, as we've said, and then QPR in the evening game versus Preston. So still not a done deal, and I think until it's across the line, probably all need to have a little bit of wariness. I saw this post on Twitter. This is the betting odds. I'm not a huge one for betting odds, listeners, as you probably will have gathered over these years now of podcasting. But the odds, I think this might be Paddy Power. I can't tell from the screenshot here. But the odds on relegation from the Championship, 9-2 on Sheffield Wednesday, excluding Rotherham, are down already. 9-2 on Sheffield Wednesday on this card here. Birmingham are 13-8 against. Huddersfield 13-8 against. Then QPR 11-4. Stoke 13-2. Plymouth 10-1 against. Blackburn 28-1 against. Millwall a fairly substantial 200-1 against relegation. The bookmakers always make money, listeners. And they can make money by not getting it wrong very often. But as I say, I won't rest easy until we're over the line for safety. Anyway, let's have a quick listen before we get into the content today. Let's have a quick listen to Neil Harris speaking in the aftermath of yesterday's home win.
Neil, a big win, a vital win, and back-to-back home wins. Talk us through your thoughts right now.
For me, Tuesday night was mega. The fans that were here saw what an impressive performance. And it was a mega performance. Today was slightly different performance, but in some ways more important because, you know, to back up that performance on Tuesday today is a powerful message from the group. The message is still clear. Look, excellent, 13 points in 5 home games, 17 points in 10 games is an excellent return for a team that are struggling. But we've still not achieved anything. You know, we're getting closer and we are again moving in the right direction, but we've got to make sure we keep our standards as high as they have been.
That was, of course, the voice of Neil Harris speaking to Mill TV after yesterday's win. I think he's right. 17 points from 10 games is a magnificent, magnificent return. I mean, what he's achieved so far is, I don't like the hackneyed term miracle, but it's getting close to a complete turnaround of a season that was really slipping out of control under the latter days of Joe Edwards. We were spinning out of control towards League One. And as we've said many, many times, I'm going to say it again, make no apology, listeners, have a look through the list of teams, the runners and riders in League One, to get a sense of what a disaster that would be to drop into the third division, the third tier. Neil's right, and we've said it already on this show, we can't celebrate until it's a done deal. That may come next week, it may come the week after, but we've got to do it still, and there's still an outside possibility, even if it is only a 200-1 shot, according to Mr. Power. Until it's done, then we can't sleep easy, and a big summer looms once that's been achieved. But no, well done, Neil Harris, so far, and we'll probably do a bit more of a fulsome tribute once we get into the post-survival shows, which will hopefully be very, very soon. We'll see. Anyway, that was Neil Harris. Now we're going to get into our contributors. First up, the man has achieved a cult following. People are baying for his contributions online. It is the one and only, the inimitable, the indubitable Mr. Bobby T. Let's have a listen to what Bobby's got to say after yesterday's home win.
Nick, Bobby T here. Let me relax in the sunny old sunshine of South Bermondsey. Oh, New Crossgate. Job done. Boys were fantastic. Harris, outstanding. Tatanga, man of the match for me, or Billy Mitchell. First goal conceded, obviously. Sarkic, his fault. Silly free kick to give away. Ginger Nut ended it all. We are safe as houses, Nick Hart and the old Millwall boys. Great job. Not very up and down season, but it gives a fucking fuck. Millwall in the Championship now. Henry Cooper, I was going to slag him off. But who cares, Nick Hart and Achtam Millwall. Millwall are in the Championship. Love you all. Bye for now. One more thing, Nick Hart, T. Bobby Hittier, above MB. Oh my God. Shush to the sheep shaggers. Shush. That's what I'm saying. What are you saying? Shut them fucking sheep shaggers up, mate. Man of the match for me was Billy Mitchell. Tatanga. And we are safe now. Bobby T signing off. Love you all. No, whoa. No one likes us. We're in Championship. Bring on the old fucking Pompey. Hi, Nick Hart. Bobby D here. All calm and relaxed now. I think we're mathematically safe. A few pointers on today's game. For me, Harris came in. Sir Neil Harris, bomber, the Harris way. He came in and job done, really, basically. He came in and done what he was supposed to do, keep us up. For me, pointers, can we sign Michael Obafemi? I don't think Buddy would let him go, and it would cost a lot of money. Tatanga, can we keep him? I doubt it. But positives for next season is Adam Meyer, Romain Essé, Bradshaw firing all cylinders. Nesbitt, do we keep or do we sell? Fleming, do we keep or do we get money for him this summer? Does he want to be here? Today he was a bit more lethargic and he was a bit too slow. Danny Mac, Leonard signed contract. Don't know about Danny Mac though, but great left back. Joe Bryan, too old. Need a good clear up for the summer, but what more can I ask for? I mean, today Watmore was amazing when he come on, great finish. Adam Mayers for next season. Sarkic for the goal, but he's going to be here next season. Cooper, I don't really know. We need to get Alex Mitchell back for next season, personally, if you ask me. And the wingers, as we've said, Essé and Adam Meyer, Leonard, Makua Prant, Nesbitt, will we keep him? So that's my thought on today and next season. It's been a tough season, but Harris came in to do what he had to do. And thank God, Neil Harris, people would say in or out. Joe Edwards, we would have been down by now. Gary Rower, forget him, he's at Birmingham now. So anyway, Achtam Mawal and Nick Hart, that's my take. Which Mr. Bobby Teague, all calm and relax. Bye for now. Oh, I just want to finish on Nick Hart, Bobby T here. At the end of the game, at the end of today's game, with rocking all over the world, everyone was happy. But I mean, I think it's quite disrespectful. I don't think Neil Harris sees Casper Dunor in his plans, because like that was a bit of an insult. Like he came on for the last 2 minutes, and after the celebrations I saw in the tunnel, Casper Dunor didn't even celebrate with the players. He just went down the tunnel. I think Harris chased after him. I don't know, but I don't think Casper will be here next season. What's your thoughts? Bye for now.
Some interesting views there from Bobby, one way and the other. I missed the Casper Dunor situation there, Bob. I don't blame him for being disgruntled, although it's going to be very difficult at the moment with Saville and Billy Mitch. Right? And I agree, for me, Billy was my man in the match yesterday, but I wouldn't disagree with anyone that came up with Obafemi or Tanganga and so on. But yeah, difficult for Casper to break in. Whether he fits into Neil Harris's world view of football or not, he hasn't really featured. I mean, coming in with like seconds to go yesterday was just a game ploy, wasn't it, to use up some time. So I think he's entitled to feel disgruntled. He may well be one that moves on if we can get money for him. He's not really, he's shown us promise at the Den. Whether he's shown enough promise in the wider football world or not, I don't know. I think it'd be a shame. I like Casper Dunor, and I think that, you know, everything I've seen and heard about him, and I was fortunate enough to catch up with Joe Zampa from that Millwall podcast a few weeks back now, but he was speaking with Casper's family at the Cold Blow Lane. They'd all come over from Belgium, including Casper's fiancée, and lovely people. And but my point being that Casper, I picked up the vibe that he was loving it, really, really enjoying his time at Millwall, and wanted to, you know, to contribute. I don't know the ins and outs of any more than that, Bob. So if there was a bit of, you know, handbags or words, shall we say, at the end of the game with Harris, then I don't know. I understand any player that's not getting game time. You know, it's a short and limited career as a footballer. And to come back to Fleming, who has said he wants to play at a higher level, I don't blame any player for wanting to play at the highest possible level. We had all this with Jed a couple of years ago, didn't we, when Jed moved on. Main thing Millwall's got to do is extract value from our assets. And if it does come to the point that we have an asset in Fleming that has said he wants to move on, and presuming there to be a market with pound notes at the end of it, then that might enable us to pick up some of the players that you've mentioned there, Bob, Tanganga and Obafemi possibly. Tanganga might be a little bit out of our range because I think he's really showing what a quality player he is. I dare say others are going to mention these themes as we go through the show. I really do I'm interested, and I mentioned this speaking to Graham yesterday about the likes of Alex Mitchell at Lincoln and Chinnacolli at Bromley. You know, how good are they? Does the manager, does Neil Harris see them as being championship level defenders? Are they possibles to come into the side and make their claim on a regular starting place as a must have, like we've had with Jake Cooper and till this season at least Sean Hutchinson. It's going to be an interesting summertime ahead. But huge thank you to the many voices of Bobby T there. Thank you, Bob. Next up on our show today is Matt Richards. Let's go to Matt now.
Nick, Matt Richards, driving back. Wow, that was superb. What a great result. I mean, I had concerns before the game because suddenly after Leicester, we're kind of thinking, well, we're expecting to win today. Although, you know, us Millwall fans never expect that because we kind of know what could easily happen. So it's actually turning, I thought it was a very, very good performance. Scoring 3 goals at home. I don't think we've done it in the league this year. I think it's only second time this season. So great stuff, you know. Really, really good. Really pleased. And we're not safe yet. But, you know, we've got a 6-point gap. You know, a couple more points and we're sure. And we'll know next weekend, obviously, if clearer position next weekend. So, yeah, I'm really pleased for Obafemi. He played well, scoring that goal. I mean, kid, I think he must have just thought, well, I'm just going to hit it this time because he's tried to dink one over last home game against West Brom and didn't work. Tried to slide one in last home game, that didn't work. So he's just blasted it and a great finish. Good pass through by Zian as well. They linked up really well. I think there's a blossoming partnership there. Some good link-up play between the two of them, particularly in the first 20 minutes. Gutting to lose the goal. I have to see it back. I never saw a replay. But I don't know if Sarkic was to blame. Soft free kick for Sav to give away. Not going to blame Sav because he had another brilliant game. But it was a soft free kick to give away. Didn't have to do that. Got a header, 1-1. And we really needed that goal. Just before half time, because that settled the nerves. That gave us something to kind of just not defend, because I don't think we defended in the second half, but it really did kind of set us down. So I think it would have got a bit nervy in the second half. So a great finish by Cooper. That was excellent to see. And then, yeah, second half, I thought we played well. I didn't think Cardiff did much in the second half, really. I think it was one long range shot which Sarkic saved. But, you know, we had a couple of chances. Obafemi had a chance. Brilliant tackle by Tanganga to kind of set up the chance. And actually, I see Obafemi got man of the match. I'll give it to Tanganga. I thought he was superb. Just running everything in the air. Great challenges. Good passing as well. Yeah, he's a class player. I know we always want to buy the centre arse we can't afford, don't we? But I'd love to be able to... A cheeky bidding for him, and his good age, he's got the pace. Anyway, let's leave that to the summer. But yeah, so really good, and yeah, great ball over for the last goal by Norton Cuffey, and nice finish by Duncan Watmore, who did a Timmy Cahill. Brilliant, great, 3 points. Just interested in listening to Harris about, just listening to him on BBC Radio London, saying that he's got two letters from the PGMRL, apology letters, the Huddersfield and Rotherham game, apologising for the decisions, and we nearly had one today, didn't we? That, I mean, bloody hell. I mean, everyone saw that as a penalty on Fleming, and blatant push. But anyway, maybe he'll get another letter as well, but at least it wasn't as important as those two games against Rotherham and Huddersfield. It does feel a while ago now, those two results. Still got to get a couple of points, but really pleased. Well done. Well done to the boys. Great victory. 3 goals at the Den in the sunshine. What more can you want, eh? Come on, you Lions. Cheers, Nick.
Excellent stuff, Matt. Thank you, mate. I missed this apology letter from the Referees Association. That's got past me completely, so I'm intrigued by that. I'm going to look up a little bit more research. You know, two letters as well. That's quite some achievement. Who knows the truth of that? I mean, obviously, if Neil's come out and said it, he's got two letters acknowledging errors at the Den, then that's manna from heaven from our point of view. If only to bring a bit of pressure on referees to be fair, because I think many times, I know that we all look through the game with our Millwall tinted glasses on, but you know, the quality of refereeing generally, but it's generally against our interests. So it'd be great to see at least some acknowledgement from those that send these people out to that, you know, there's a problem, there's an issue here. So I hadn't heard that. Well done, Neil, for getting those apologies. Not that it makes any difference to the league table, but there we are. No, it was an enjoyable win yesterday. I think one thing I would flag up for all listeners, really, is with the return of Neil Harris, whatever the rights and wrongs of his tactics and choices and selections and all the rest of it, it got really bleak at the Den previously under Joe, poor old Joe. And I wasn't enjoying going. I don't think I'm alone. I think there were plenty not enjoying going. Now it's different. I'm you know, I know that I said the season's boring me. That was in the wake of two depressing losses at far flung northern venues, Rotherham and Huddersfield. But certainly going back to the Den yesterday, once the burden was attention was lifted with the 2-1 goal from Jake. No, it's more enjoyable, and that's all you can really ask for from going to watch Millwall. So, well done. Big thank you, Matt Richards. There. Let's go now to the man himself, Harry Warren. So, listen to Harry.
Well, Harry Warren here. The morning after the night before, where Millwall's brilliant 3-1 win against Cardiff. Yeah, it was a lot better, wasn't it? It's just so weird what we're like at the Den under Neil Harris. Well, actually, it's not weird. That's what we're like at the Den under Neil Harris. We don't underperform at the Den anymore, or don't seem to. The club is bipolar, as we know, has proven this week. Two defeats to two teams that, looking at the table as we sit here now, might be in League One next season. But then we beat Leicester and sort of mid-table, upper mid-table Cardiff with nothing to play for on a Tuesday and Saturday back-to-back. Score 4 goals in 2 games and only concede 1. I thought we were really, really good. I thought we sort of played well without, you know, sometimes we've created more chances, I think, and haven't taken them. But Obafemi takes his first chance. That's massive. That sets you up. The Cardiff goal, I think Sarkic, looking at it back, I've looked at it this morning. In real time, I thought we were soft as shit in the air, which I still think we're soft as shit in the air. But I don't know what old Sarkic is doing in goal for that one. Goalkeepers, members of the goalkeeping union, please tell me why I'm wrong, that I don't expect my keeper to, when he gets there, to push it round the post. But, you know, the key turning point for me was Cooper getting a goal with a left foot volley at the back stick. I think that set us up so well for the second half. We had something to go in, kills Cardiff a little bit. We go into half time buzzing. And realistically, never looked back from there, I didn't think. And it was nice to see Duncan Watmore get on and score his goal. But we've really, you know, in the last two performances showed what we could do. I heard a stat that if you take the amount of points, I think we've got 17 points from the last 10 games. Or maybe that's not right. I feel like we've got more than that. Maybe we haven't. But apparently we've got an amount of points that if extrapolated over the season, we'd have enough for a top 10 championship side since Neil Harris has taken over. So my question really, it's more of a statement, is that for all this, it's backwards, we don't know what we're doing, this is shit, blah, 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 blah. I've never really agreed with that. I don't really agree with it now. I feel like we can all admit we're going to be a championship side next season, barring a very Millwall-style catastrophe. So let's not call that on. So we need a point from three games. I expect us to do it in the home game against, is it Plymouth? Is it Plymouth the home game? Yeah, Plymouth is the home game. Yeah, Plymouth. Which would be fine. And we set up to go next season. We learn from this season. I think we need wingers. We haven't got any at the club. Recruitment needs to be right. I think we need another centre-half. I also think we need another goalkeeper. We need players. Let's not get that right. This cannot continue. This is not... what's the right word? This is not sustainable, the way the squad is being used and playing. It reminds me a little bit of the season we stayed up under Holloway, in the sense that we stayed up and then Holloway, apparently, according to Alan Dunn, said, oh, we're going to push for promotion next season because they'd had some mad run of form at the end and not really bring anyone in. We can't afford to do that. We do need to bring players into the club and move some of the deadwood on. But all in all, fantastic win. Summer is round the corner. We can all have a well-earned break. That's the players, the management, the staff and the supporters, more likely the supporters, because this season has been one of the more awful ones. Just touching on what I said before as well, if you are in the we need thank you Harris but no thank you Harris camp, do you think Millwall Football Club are the kind of club that can afford to pay Gary Rowett, Joe Edwards and Neil Harris's contracts up and then pay for a fourth manager? I don't think that's a reasonable, nor a sensible, nor a doable a thing for Millwall as a business to do. So I don't think you're going to get your wish. And realistically, why should you want your wish? I mean, yeah, we are bipolar as a football club, as we know, but the job's been done. The job that, nearly done. The job all but done. And I just feel like maybe we need to have a little bit of a sensible pill and look at the positives for a change. We're very pessimistic. Let's look at the positives. And I'm normally very pessimistic as well when I come on here, but genuinely looking forward to the next time we play, which will be Sunday, which will be Saturday against Sunderland away. Good luck to the mad bastards who are going up there. Hopefully you come back with a point and championship safety is secured. But and then we can enjoy Plymouth in a weird way. But there we go. We'll move on to next Saturday. Another good win. And on we go. Come on, you Lions.
Excellent stuff, H. Neil Harris and next season. I can't believe, presuming that we are safe. And as you've said already, one more point will probably do it. Might even do it next week if we don't get a point, depending on other results. Anyway, that's out of our hands. But presuming that we do, at the risk of tempting Lady Luck, stay up, then some big decisions. I mean, I think you're right, Harry, that the current style is not sustainable with the squad as it is at the moment. I think you've made the same point previous. We've got a lot of midfielders. Apparently, Casper Denor was, you know, at the end of yesterday's game, was disgruntled, throwing a little paddy whack, according to Bobby earlier on. So there's probably too many midfielders fighting over, you know, too few places. Wingers, yeah, we don't know really what the situation is going to be with Adam Mayor, how good's he going to be, and there may be others coming through from the youth. I'm going to be interested to see what signings are in a position to make, what level of spending, what deals can be done, who we can move out for money, and if we, Fleming, I suppose, is the obvious candidate, if he's talking about wanting to play at a higher level, but whether that can be extracted for decent money, whether that means that Neil can start to bring in players that will suit his style. Because for me, the major criticism, I suppose, of the squad, it was the tail end of Gary Rowett. Then we had Joe Edwards coming in, trying to turn us into, Manchester City by the railway lines. And now Neil Harris has come in with the kind of flotsam and jetsam of those two different styles and squad assemblies. We've actually finished up some pretty good players. I mean, I really like on loan Brooke Norton Cuffey, Michael Obafemi, Jeff Tanganga. Whether we can retain any of those and for what kind of dough, who knows, we'll find out over the weeks and months ahead. There's a lot of criticism flying around for Zion yesterday, as I've said already on the other show, and also some measure of criticism online for Martija Sarkic. A decent goalkeeper is a crucial thing. I think that Sarkic is here now to the end of this season. Whether we can do better, or should do better, with a more physical, stronger goalkeeper, another question for the summertime. I personally believe, listeners, that Neil Harris will have earned the right for a shot over the summertime to start to mould the squad into a more modern version of Neil Harris's football. I thought yesterday was an enjoyable match. I've enjoyed the home games since he's come back. And if I'm going to be miserable, then I'd prefer it to be miserable, away from the den, really. And I suppose, you know, on that basis alone, whether the 71 points, projected points report that the South London press were having fun with the other day is a run or not, we don't know. But certainly hard and fast football played with players that can do that is going to be critical to Neil Harris's style. Good stuff there from H. Big thank you to Harry. Now we're going to take a short break, and after those messages, we're going to come back with Barry Moon, Angelo Migliozzo, and then Bill Slack, a threesome.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Evening, Nick. Barry Moon here. I'm just ringing up to say congratulations to Neil Harris, because I wasn't one of those that was boring when he come back. But I've got to be fair to the fella. He's done what he come in and done. And he's got the players back, as Kenny Jackett used to say. Get the crowd up and you get the players up. Get the players to react to the crowd. And that's what he's done. And I reckon he deserves a chance for next season. You know, I was against it, but I think he does. And his football is a lot better, I think. But when, you know, I'm so pleased for him. I'm more pleased for us, because at least looking like now, we're staying in the championship. So it'd be interesting who he signs, who we get in, because I think we've got a nucleus of a decent squad there. We just need someone, and hopefully he can start getting away wins, because all accounts, he's only had 4 in 32. So he needs to improve on that. But other than that, I thought today's performance and Tuesday night's performance were magnificent. You couldn't fault those players. They were playing for it and playing for the crowd. So I'm really pleased, mate. And thanks for your shows, because I really enjoy them. Especially the one on Friday night, which is a little bit special. It's an excellent one. And thanks again. Cheers, mate.
Hi, Nick. Angelo, mate. Just dropped my son off from the game. Brilliant, mate. That's all I can say. Fantastic game. Fantastic goals. Fantastic weather. Just a great, great, great afternoon, mate. I know that the fan base, we do have a lot of people that are not happy with Harris being in charge and this, that and the other, but I don't understand it, mate. We're Millwall. We're not Man City. We're not Liverpool. If this guy can keep us in the league every single season, get the players battling like fuck at the den, which they haven't done for fucking since he left, basically. I don't understand why you wouldn't want Harris to stay. I'm backing the guy 100%, mate. All he needs to do is sort out the away form, and we're rock and rolling, mate. But yeah, you know, the home form since you come back is just outstanding. There's no two ways about it. We used to come to the den under Edwards hoping for a fucking draw, mate. Now we come to the den and we get fucking rocking all over the world every game, mate. Fucking brilliant. Great goals today. What we would do to keep up a Femi, mate. I can't remember the last time, I don't even know if we've ever had a striker that can outpace the defenders, chest it down, bullet it in at the far post. Honestly, he could score so many goals like that, just punting it forward to him outpacing the defenders. He'll have a field day, mate, if we had him. Loved the guy, absolutely loved the guy. And what a brilliant standing ovation when he come off. Fantastic. Cooper gets his first goal of the season in the 40 is it 42nd, 43rd game of the season? Gets his first goal. Great finish. And I thought that that last goal was quality, mate, you know, from the two subs. You can easily screw that chance up. But great ball across from Cuffy and Watmore done brilliant putting it away. I thought Watmore was brilliant when he came up, by the way. I thought he was outstanding second half. SA was all right. You know, we've all seen that clip, haven't we, on Twitter. Sometimes good, sometimes shit. I think that's what SA's like, you know. We see some great things and then we see some bad things. But yeah, he'll get better. You know, I really do think that maybe giving him half a season on loan next season, getting regular game time, might really help SA. Because there is definitely a player in there, without a shadow of a doubt. Fantastically strong bench today. Obviously great to see Brian and Nisbet back on the bench. But yeah, we're nearly there, mate. I think we're 6 points ahead of that dreaded drop zone. And just one more point, just in my head, cements us staying up. But yeah, again, well done to the players. Well done to the fans. And well done to Mr. Neil Harris, mate. We need to praise Neil Harris. We shouldn't be questioning whether we should keep him next season or not. Back the guy. He's done a fantastic job, and he saved us from relegation. Because sadly, although I was backing Joe Edwards, we would have got down, unfortunately, if Mr. Neil Harris hadn't come along. So that's it. We've got a nice week. Off to the next game, and brilliant. Come on, you Lions. Catch you later, Nick.
Hello, Nick. It's Bill Slack. That's actually the last time I'm going to call myself Bill Slack. I'm calling into Achtung Millwall. I've decided that I'm going to be called Billy S. Because after the burgeoning popularity of Bobby T, I think someone needs to stand up and be counted a little bit. We can't all be in his shadow, and I've decided that person's me. I really enjoyed today. There were some really decent performances. In fact, they all played really well. I think that, you know, some of those players that I described as average after the Huddersfield game were anything but. Longman was excellent and has been good for the last three games. Duncan Watmore, when he came on, I really wasn't sure about that substitution, but he was really good as well. He was absolutely everywhere. I've got a sneaking suspicion that he's only got 45 minutes in. In fact, it's not a sneaking suspicion. He's only got 45 minutes at that pace in him, but what a 45 minutes today. I thought it was fantastic. Do you know what occurred to me today? I went down on the concourse at half-time to try and use the loo, foolishly, because one, I couldn't get in there anyway, but two, of course, you risk lung cancer if you do try and use the loo at half-time. And I couldn't believe the amount of people that were at that game. Millwall, Cardiff, an important game, don't get me wrong, but to sell that, I'm pretty sure it was a sellout, to sell out that game today was just ridiculous. And the point I'm getting to is, I realised today we are actually a club on the up. We are, our highest attendances, I've nicked this off you, Nick, what is it this year, our highest attendance since the early 50s when you started going. You know, there's a real disconnect between the attendances, you know, just how many people we're getting going down there. And what we're actually seeing on the pitch and the sort of season it's been. I'd expect those sort of crowds, you know, if we're pushing for promotion or we're having a great season. But to struggle pretty much from the first day to nearly the last day and still be selling out the ground. I think we've got that hardcore of 14,000 Millwall. We're always going to be there. And I think you're right. I think the club has done really well with the marketing and bringing in new people, whether they be tourists, whether they've settled in the area or moved moved over to England and latched onto Millwall, I don't know. But it's that extra 2,000 or 3,000 people must make all the difference to the bottom line. And I think this is a moment in time. I really do. Again, despite what we're seeing on the pitch, as a football club, we seem to have real momentum as far as the money that we're bringing in, the people that we're getting in there, the money that's being spent over the jump at half time, you know, the bar's absolutely raking it in. You know, we are on the up, and we cannot miss this opportunity. We cannot miss it. I want to talk about the club management. I'm not talking about Neil Harris. I want to talk about the club management for a while. I think that they've come in for a lot of criticism this year, and I think quite rightly, an awful lot of it. Joe Edwards was one of the worst appointments that I've seen down there for years. And some of us stopped the wishful thinking really early on and were sort of waving, going, boys, this ain't going to work. But they, you know, they realised their mistake. They appointed Neil Harris. And actually, I'm touching wood now, we've reached 50 points with three games to go. They made a mistake and they rectified it and they got it right. You can't say they never got it right. It is pretty much mission accomplished now. There would have to be some string of results for us to go down at this point. But where I completely lack confidence and always have is in our recruitment. You've spoken about it for the last couple of weeks. We need the best recruitment team in that division, if not in the Football League. That's where our ambition should lie. Our ambition shouldn't be, let's appoint one of the best young coaches in the country and play pretty football. Our ambition should be, right, how do we sort out our recruitment? How do we actually find these diamonds in the rough that we can sell for millions? Slightly different slant on that. How do we actually bring some of these great young players through into the first team? Because where are we now? We've got Danny Mack, we've got SA, and we've got Billy Mitchell. I mean, that's the last three that I can remember for years and years and years. So is there something going on there? But however some of these clubs have done it, and some of them have done it brilliantly, Brentford, Brighton, Bournemouth, if we're not copying them, we at least need to have a really good long look at what they're doing, how they're doing it, and really introduce a system that works, because that's the only way this club's going to survive. I haven't got the front to ask James Berylson for 100 million this summer, so that ain't going to happen. So how do we increase the value on what we're spending? How do we get that value? Because we don't get it at the moment. We just don't. And I don't, if it stays the same at that club, if we don't change it, if we don't completely fucking review it. And now I'm not talking about sacking people and throwing people out of the club. I'm talking about improving it. No one's been sacked out of that club this summer. They look like a close-knit team anyway. They suffered a dreadful loss in the summer, which would have only have brought them closer. Nobody's leaving that club. How do we improve it though? How many open minds have we got there that where they go, this is what we need to do? I think I have said my bit, mate. I'll speak to you soon. Billy S out, Millwall.
Billy S. That's great stuff from Bill. As always, Billy S is always on point. Some really interesting points made there by Bill. Before him, Angelo and Barry. Big thank you to Bill, Angelo and Barry for those three messages. Yeah, sellouts, blimey. Block one was full up. Mostly Swedish fans yesterday. I mean, it has varied at certain points. I suppose it depends on what's going on in town. I think we tend to forget, because we've all lived in a Millwall bubble all of our life, dear listeners, we tend to forget that Bermondsey is actually very, very close to the West End. Ain't that difficult to get from the big city sites that people come to? And we take it all for granted. I know I do. You know, you just take the fact that you go past Tower Bridge to get to Millwall, but some people travel the world to come and see stuff like that, St Paul's, blah, 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 West End, you name it. The chaps I was speaking to yesterday, I think I said on the other show, a couple of Swedish guys, seemed like decent blokes. Their English wasn't so good, but you know, they said to me they're here for here primarily to watch Arsenal play Aston Villa. I said, I bet you're going to enjoy this game today more than you might enjoy the Arsenal game tomorrow. And we laughed a Swedish laugh at that gag. They thought I was like a great Max Miller style wit. But they're here because, for better or for worse, the name of Millwall is, as the chap said to me, he said it's a classic name, and they want to come here to get a slice of the Millwall thing as part of the weekend. And I know a lot of the Americans, when they've been in the block one, you know, engaged conversation with them, and others, as you get them from all sorts of places on a weekender, a football weekender. I think I make you're right, Bill. We are on the up. The numbers of orange and white away shirts that were being sold, because they're on a cheapy deal, so maybe there's a hook there for the club. Reduce the prices of the shirts and you sell more of them, especially to the foreign fans. And I'm not economically qualified to say whether you get more money from reducing your prices or selling them in dear. But anyway, there was a lot of them sitting in the block yesterday. And yeah, they want to buy beer, they want to eat. And you know, that's why, you know, I know I've bored people, and I get some feedback from time to time, people online saying, why are you always talking about bird shit? It's because it makes us look so fucking tuppenny halfpenny, listeners. It makes us look so incompetent. And the solution is, like many things at the Den, the solution is so blindingly simple that a mop and bucket would solve it. You've got to wash the areas where you know there's shit. It's like going into the toilets when they're full up with people having a fag. I mean, again, you can go downstairs. It's because people can't be bothered to go downstairs. But I went into, you know, sort myself out on midweek, and there was a toilet full up with shit. You know, it was literally to the brim. It was like something out of the Houston Astrodome during Hurricane Katrina. Stuff like that is amateur hour. This is why I get annoyed. It's not because I've got a particular fixation on, you know, guano bird droppings. It's because it makes us look so amateur hour. So that's my beef. But balance with that, Bill, you're right. We're selling out, regularly selling out since, you know, the post-war period. We haven't had such big attendances. And the Swedish guys, they were loving it. The atmosphere was full on. It was Cardiff, so you got the whole kind of Welsh thing going on. And I said to him, make a wanker sign when you go downstairs, which he did. He loved it. He thought it was like the best thing since sliced bread. So there we are. It was a great afternoon. I think Angelo said the same thing. And you know, whether we can keep the likes of Obafemi and some of the others, I don't know. I don't know. It's going to depend on pound notes at the end of the day. But a big thank you, Bill, Angelo and Barry. We're going to move along now. I'm going to play Glyn Horner, followed up with Matt Webb.
Hello, Nick. Glyn here. So hot after the game, just giving some initial thoughts. I think 50 points is clear now. I think we're safe. We're going to be in the Championship next season. I'll go as far as to make that claim. But I think now attention focuses on the squad and next season. And there are some, you know, interesting things that happened today. But I think we, you know, despite the fact that Cooper scored an excellent goal, really good finish, I think we do have to look at his performances overall this season, and they have been tailing off. And I'm just not sure that he's the future really of the centre of that defence. And maybe if a good offer came in for him, it might be time to try and trade him in and see if we could go and get a Ballard or a Creswell type character to come in his place. I certainly would sign Tanganga if he was available. I think he's a fantastic player and definitely worth the investment, because I'm sure you'd sell him for more than you bought him for. I think Obafemi's finish today was really good, and he certainly has looked good. But I think what really was apparent was when Bradshaw came on, just how good he is at holding the ball up and the ball sticking to him when the ball gets punted upfield. And it's something that I think Obafemi has gotten better at. But He's not as good as someone like Bradshaw. The trouble is with Bradshaw, of course, his age and fitness. And I think, you know, he'll be a good option on the bench, but he's not going to be the answer full time for the whole of next season. So we do need a hold up player further up the field that can disrupt and chase and stick that ball to them so that we can counter attack on the break, because that's the way we have to play it. We don't have the money for the flair players that can build through the middle. Really impressed with Danny Mack. I thought Billy Mitch played a very sort of Jimmy Abdu type game today, really disruptive, not necessarily picking out the greatest of passes. I've seen him have better passing games, but I think he was very disruptive and influential and broke up play when he had to. A few misplaced passes, but, you know, very reminiscent of you know, beloved Jimmy. So maybe that's the kind of role that he'll play in future, but certainly a player I would want to keep long term. But yeah, I think, you know, long term, I think we've got to take a serious look at that defence, plug the gaps in the middle, make sure we've got players of quality that can play with the ball at their feet and bring it out, as well as dominate aerially. So now, keepers, my word, Sarkic, what to say. I've said this a few weeks ago, I think, when I gave you some feedback. I suspected that we would see the odd ricket from him over the rest of the season. And sure enough, that's played out. I mean, he's clearly got talent. He's clearly quite good with the ball at his feet. His distribution isn't really that fantastic. It's all right. I wouldn't keep him in the team for his distribution, that's for sure. And he's handling, you know, he's got rickets in him at any minute. But he's young. So on that basis, I would go as far to say as to give him another season. But if we start the next season and, you know, come, you know, quarter of the way or third of the way through the season, if he's still making these types of mistakes, I think that time has to be called on that. And we certainly need, I would say, two good keepers as backup, and one ready to step into the number one slot, one that we feel confident that can do the job and maybe even permanently. That goal today that he let in was awful. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll get back to you after the next game. All the best. Come on, you Lions.
Nick, hi, Matt Webb here. Thoughts on yesterday's very good result and performance against Cardiff City. Okay, mathematically, we're not safe, but I think we've hit the 50-point margin or 50-point total, and I think that's made us safe, mate, if I'm brutally honest with you. I'll go on to that in a little bit more detail shortly. On the reflection of the game, he started with SA, which fundamentally, due to his impact against Leicester, he had to give him a starting berth. And unfortunately for the lad, yeah, I just didn't really make the grade, so to speak, yesterday. I felt he was a bit lost out there. You could see what he was trying to do and how he was trying to play and how he linked up with Obafemi. But it just wasn't there yesterday, and I think the right thing to do was to substitute him at half time. Other things, Obafemi again took that goal really well. He was again up for it against not a former club, but obviously a rival of one of his former clubs, and they were giving him some stick throughout the game. So great goal he scored in that near side post, and that had some proper venom behind it as well, which made it even more sweeter. I mean, when you go through on goal like that, with the angle being really tight, and you hit it that hard, accuracy has to be to a maximum. And it was on point. It was an absolute wonderful goal. And yeah, keeper had no chance. The goal that we conceded, you know, I'm a star. Sarkic, I do like Sarkic, and I'm a bit of the goalkeepers union here, but I can't. It's a hard one to defend, if I'm honest with you. I think he should have done a lot better. I mean, I could always say who should have won the header, who should have won the cross, but at the end of the day, it wasn't, from my angle, a spectacularly hard effort. And yeah, I just don't know what to. Well, you just can't defend that one. And yeah, he made an absolute rick in that. And luckily enough, that did not hinder the result. The another mention is Jake Cooper. Now, subsequently, I thought yesterday he couldn't pass to a Millwall player yesterday. Every pass he made was to a Cardiff player. Every clearance he made was like out of panic. However, I will not take that away from an absolute glorious, glorious volley for the second goal. And, you know, he took that really well. He was in the right position, anticipated the flick on from Longman, which I'll go on to in a minute. And, yeah, buried that one right in front of the away end, which was obviously near where you and I sit, Nick. So, you know, in Birdship Block. And, yeah, he just took that really well. And you could just see the pressure off his celebration, like his emotions, how much that meant to him. So we go in at break up 2-1. And, you know, as I said, he took SA off and put Watmore on. And, you know, I was thinking, right, well, what do we do? And, you know, are we going to sit back for 45 or actually we're going to continue? Now, if I'm honest with you, Cardiff was so bad that I'm glad we continued with the pressure. And we deserved that third goal. And again, the goal came to Watmore, who, again, you know, he has his critics. I've been one of his critics. But again, he came on and he changed the game and how he played. You know, he ran at the defence. Longman down one side, Watmore down the other, and Obafemi, all three of them running at you, that looked quite threatening. And Cardiff did not have an answer to that. And I was really pleased for the third goal game, because I thought at 2-1, I was a bit worried at that, you know, we could always muck it up and, you know, concede. But no, the icing on the cake was that third goal, which was really, really well taken. Don't know if it had a hint of offside, but I don't care. Really don't care. It was a goal was a goal. So on to mentions, mate. Again, Longman, fantastic game. And I don't know about you, and he has had his critics, and I think there's a player in him. But I would actually try and put a tape. I'll put a bid in for him. And it all I think it also depends on whether Harris stays on. If we go for him. But I would. If nothing's going to change, I would go in for him, put a bid in for him. He's a Southerner by trade, isn't he? I think from Surrey. So, you know, closer to home, it'd be a good thing to have him on board. Obafemi, again, worked tirelessly and was really good. Unlucky for a second goal, which the keeper pulled off an absolute good left-handed down save around the post. And he worked his absolute cockles off. And also my final one, and it's my man of the match, is Billy Mitchell. And, you know, Billy does have his limitations sometimes, and we've seen that in the past, but I think that was the best game I've seen Billy Mitchell play in a very long while, if I'm honest with you. I mean, he's had good games, but he had a great game yesterday, and I think that shows testament of the character of the lad, and I'm hoping he can build on that. That's the key thing. Usual mentions to Ryan Leonard, who I think he will be unanimously being man of the match, and I don't think he had a shirt on at the end of the game either, because it was practically ripped off him. And Jash Tanganga, again, another player that, oh God, if you know, it needs Mill need to show that ambition in the summer as to where they want to go. Where's their plan? Does that plan include pushing a bow out to get players like your Jash Tangangas and your Michael Obafemi's on a permanent? Only the board can make that decision. And I would love us to table a bid for him. You know, and it'd be up to the player to decide whether he would like to come to us. But who knows? That's for the close season. So we got to 50 points. That was the target. Are we mathematically safe? Of course not. We've got three games to go. There's 9 points available. But realistically, I think we could say we would be safe. And we've won 50 points. I was a bit bored this morning. And I looked at what fixtures the bottom six or seven teams below us have got. And, you know, there's a couple of games where they have to play each other. Wednesday's got Blackburn. Huddersfield's got Birmingham. So that's a big one. Stoke have got Plymouth, you know. But then you've got to look at there's some teams up in the top three, like Leeds and Ipswich and Southampton's and Leicester's. They've all got to play these lower teams. So, I was asking my question, well, where are the bottom two teams going to get 6 points from? And I don't think there is any for them. But, you know, what I think we should do is obviously not rest on our laurels, but go for that 1 point, get to 51, and I think that we will be home and hosed if we got 51. But I think we've done it, mate, if I'm honest with you. So go to Sunderland, long way to go. Just play a draw, you know, two teams that, well, Sunderland probably haven't got nothing to play for now, but go up there and, yeah, let's get the job done. But well done, Millwall. Well done, Neil Harris, for bringing the home atmosphere back. You know, all I'm asking for you now is can you transfer that to the away form? That's all I'm asking, mate. Come on, you Lions.
Big thank you, Matt. And before him, Glyn, some great points in there, mate. I think a lot's going to come down to the point that Billy S made already about the need. You know, a lot of people have said it on these shows and elsewhere about the desperate need for Millwall to start to up its recruitment game. We've got to sell players dear and buy them cheap. Quality bought cheap, sold dear. That's, you know, the easiest thing in the world to say and the hardest thing to do. But for a club of our size, boys, I think that's going to be where the key lies. Sarkic, I'm not going to join in the general, Sarkic criticism. I think that goalkeeping is a lonely profession. I didn't see enough in real time yesterday of the goal. I've not actually watched the conceded goal on the website today, so on the Millwall website. So I think Sarkic will know where he's made an error, and maybe he'll dwell on it and reflect. Isn't that what they do at school nowadays? They go and have reflection. Great stuff. Big thank you to everyone who's contributed what is now effectively part two of this weekend's coverage of the 3-1 win over Cardiff City yesterday. I'm going to take a break here, and then we're going to be right back with a separate edition, part three, because I've got yet more cracking content. If you can believe it, dear listeners, this is the show where you get the best content online. We're going to take a break there. All of the podcast books I remember reading when I first started doing this madhouse hobby said that you shouldn't really go beyond an hour for your podcast, and I've taken that as like a tablet of stone ever since, although I do it a lot. But anyway, we're at 61 minutes now, so I'm going to take a break there, and there will be another edition, part three, coming up very, very shortly on a separate show. So, and thanks for listening to the next edition. Arrivederci, Millwall, and bye for now.
Achtung, Millwall.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.